topics, and I always have things I can pray about, but we want to pray for you today. And if you need healing in your body, I want you to know that prayers have been offered up and healing has been received by many people, and we will agree together and you can receive your healing today. It's already yours, but you can receive it today. And if you got a situation where you need peace or comfort or whatever it is in your life, God said whatever it is, he wants us to talk to him about it. So we'll join our faith with yours if you'll let us know what you want prayer about.
Amen. I have a praise report.
Yep.
For yesterday's stress test. So I had the stress test yesterday at the hospital in Cordell, and I'll admit I was a little uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
However, I went through with it, and they put some radioactive stuff in through an IV thing, and then they take your picture so they can see your heart. I have a heart.
Wow. It said owned by Jesus.
Yeah. And they did the first picture, and then I went and sat for a minute and then got on the treadmill with all the hoo-ha hookup stuff, and the target heart rate was 144 within 9 minutes. Every time you walk, it gets a little, it's at an incline, and then it speeds up every 3 minutes. Well, my heart rate got up to 140 before my calves started cramping.
No.
And I was like, look, man, I'm about to have to quit it because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then he says, because he said, well, let me know before so I can give you this other shot of stuff for the last pitcher. So I told him, he gave me the other shot, and he said, he's looking at it, and he says, well, your blood pressure's staying good. There's no problems with your blood pressure and stuff. It's all good.
Yeah.
And so we went and got the other last picture done of my heart, and I'm laying there, and I'm just talking to Jesus, you know, my best friend. And he said, everything looked good, but your heart rate got down to 44. And I'm like, well, thank you for the peace, Lord. Because I was a little anxious, you know. I mean, I ain't never had none of that stuff done. And heart issues run in my family until it run into me.
Yeah.
Because I ain't hearing it. My heart belongs to my Lord.
Amen.
And devil, you ain't got no right even looking at my heart, sucker.
That's right.
And so he said everything looked good. He said that might be just be you.
Yeah.
It
well, you know, hey,
if
your heart's beating at 44 beats a minute, but your blood pressure's where it's supposed to be, then obviously your heart don't have to work as hard as other people's, which, you know, that's an absolute miracle in and of itself. I mean, it's just an absolute miracle. Who says your heart rate, medical science says you have to be this way? Well, the one that created you says, you know, your heart can function at this level and confound the wise. As long as your blood pressure's good and you're doing good and, you know, hey, we just agree with you that you're walking in complete blessing and healing of God. Amen.
Amen. And I didn't get out of breath or my calves started. I'm like, look, man. I said, look, dude. I said, I ain't exercised in
a minute.
Years.
A minute.
I said, however, I did used to be a professional wrestler, so I did used to work out
a
lot.
She used to jump off the top rope on people. It meant while a calf hurt. I don't know, but. God is healing. God is doing great, you know. Another praise report real quickly. You know, remember Cody Highsmith came into our church. His cousin Tammy goes to our church all the time. And Cody came in, and the first day he came in about 6 weeks ago, he could barely get in the door. He had to be helped. He had oxygen on, and basically they were thinking he might not be here very much longer at all, although the doctors were doing what they could for him, and I praise God for that. But we anointed him with oil and prayed over him. And he doesn't really come from a background where he would just be, you know, I've heard that ever since I was a little kid about anointing with oil and praying a prayer of faith and all that. You know, and it's all good. I remember when I didn't know anything at all about praying for the sick. I remember when being a senior in high school and the first time I ever saw anybody get prayed for anything like laying their hands on them. Besides receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the only prayer I'd ever seen was to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. But we were on a ski trip, and the kid in the bus was sick, and They pulled the van over. It was a van, not a bus, but they pulled over. So we're going to pray for him. You know, he needs to be well so he can enjoy the trip. I'm thinking, what? That's weird. Of course, I hadn't read the Bible. So, you know, a senior in high school, I had not read the Bible. I didn't know nothing about the things of God except that Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven, died on a cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again. That's it. That's all I knew. I literally didn't know anything else. I didn't even know how to read a Bible. I didn't know. One day we were watching a football game, and I asked my wife, what is that guy holding that sign that says John 3:1-6? What's that? I literally asked her that. And I'm talking about, I'm like 19 years old at that time. I'm like, what's that mean? Grew up in church. You can be ignorant as a doorknob and still grow up in church. Because no matter how much your pastor preaches it well, and my pastor probably preached it well, I just wasn't receiving. I wasn't getting it. I wasn't reading it for myself. So I didn't know anything about any of that stuff. And there are a lot of people who don't. But, you know, Cody came in. He probably know more than I did. But he came in, and we anointed him with oil. We showed him in the Bible. Here's what the Bible says. James, you know, if any among you is sick, call for the elders of the church, anoint with oil. Prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. That's what your Bible says. I don't care where you go to church at. That's what your Bible says. That may not be the practice of your particular church, and I'm okay with that. That's between them and you and God. I don't care. But your Bible says that. It's in every Bible. It's not just some Pentecostal Bible. It's in every Bible, and it's there. And so we just said, oh, okay, well, God put it there for us. We're going to use it. We anointed him with oil. Long story short, 6 weeks ago, he came in. He was barely hanging on oxygen. He came back 2 weeks later. He's doing so much better. He bebop up the stairs. He didn't have his oxygen on. Well, now the latest report, day before yesterday, they've done scans, and 75% of the cancer that he had in his body is gone. He is on his way to complete and total. They call it remission. I call it omission. God just omitted that from his life. You know what? And I give God all the praise. We give God all the praise. But I could tell you testimonies for the rest of the hour about people who have been healed. And here's my saying. Why not you? Amen. Come on. Let's pray.
Let's pray for Niall.
Okay. Yep.
Continue to pray for comfort for Michelle Sassy, who's going to be having part of her liver removed due to a tumor on the 23rd of this month. And pray for my brother James, who had a doctor's appointment this morning. And pray for Max, who has court Thursday in Texas.
All right.
You got some too? Okay.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we do pray for these requests for Niall. Lord God, we just speak grace and peace over Niall. I know that he's gone to church many years, Lord God, and as a believer in Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to him in great power. I pray, God, for your power, your mercy, your grace be upon Niall. We continue to pray, Lord, for comfort for Michelle. Father, you know the procedure that is planned for her, and we know that you ultimately are her physician, and we thank you for that. We speak life and health and strength over her. We pray for a miraculous intervention, Father. We pray for James, Lord God, Monica's brother, and we thank you, Lord God, for your blessing and favor to be upon him as he goes to this doctor's appointment, Lord God. I pray that you would stir James up, Lord God, just as his namesake in the book of James in the Bible, that he would believe you for healing, Lord God, and that he would be manifest in that healing. And Father, we pray for Max, Lord God. We pray that Max be favored and have grace and mercy, Lord God, as he appears before court. We ask you for justice to be done and mercy to be shown. And we thank you for Max's changed life. We give you praise for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. We got some more, don't we?
We had one come in on Facebook.
Okay.
For Christina Rodriguez.
All right.
For her mind. It's not as bad as before, but could still use prayer in that area.
Yeah.
I know all the right things, just exhausting at times, she said.
Yep. I've known Christina since she was a little girl. And Father, I thank you that you have always kept her. No matter how many times the enemy has come against her and tried to take her out of this world, to literally destroy her life, Lord God, you have always been her stronghold. And even now, Father God, Lord Jesus, you are her mighty fortress and her stronghold. I pray, God, that words filled with faith would rise up in her spirit. Lord, the thing that comes to my mind as we pray for Christina is this. You said in your word in Isaiah 26:3 that you will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on you. I pray that you'd help Christina to keep her mind on you. That, Lord, if there is any physical thing going on in her body that's causing these problems, that you, Lord Jesus, would bring healing to her. Your healing hand be upon her right now. And, Father, if this is simply a spiritual attack, give her the wisdom and discernment to recognize it. And, Father, if there's anything in her emotional status that's causing her issues, Father, maybe I don't know, Lord God, but if there's something that she needs to deal with, I pray you show her what it is and how to deal with it. We release grace to Christina right now. And Lord, I'm also mindful to pray for Jody, Lord God. For Jody Colson, Lord God. The cancer has no right to touch Jody. Pray for my friend Jonathan, Lord. Cancer has no right to invade or to trespass against your property, Jesus. You said in your word that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You said it, we're not to take our bodies and join our bodies to someone we're not married to because it's wrong, because our bodies don't belong to us, but they belong to you. Well, Lord, I'm asking you for some maintenance, some remodeling to be done on people's bodies, Father. I accept, Lord God, what you have for me today. Lord, there are some things that I've been dealing with that, Lord, I could use your touch, and I ask you to help me receive what you've already bought and paid for. Release your grace for us to receive it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Okay, our friend Mignon Sayre, who's mm-hmm. a faithful listener, has a procedure scheduled for Friday, and she's believing God to dissolve a blockage. So we want to join her.
Amen.
I have a classmate named Melinda Spindler. She traveled from Canada because her dad had open-heart surgery yesterday. Okay. And then Lori Cannon is having major surgery today.
All right. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we bring before you these who are obviously seeking healing. Lord, when a person goes to a doctor here on earth, especially a surgeon, nobody wants to go have a surgery. Nobody. But Father, people go to have surgeries because they believe that it can be used to help restore to them health. And Father, we are believing that that is exactly what will happen. We ask you to guide the hands of these surgeons. I would ask this, Father, that if anyone who's scheduled to have a procedure does not need to have that, that you would cause it to be canceled, whatever you got to do it. I pray for your direct and divine intervention. But Lord, for those who are appointed to go through with these procedures, I believe that they have prayerfully entered into these things. And Father, you are preparing the medical staff to care for them in a way that is just almost supernatural. And then you're going to put your supernatural on their natural abilities. And we're asking you to restore health and healing. Father, for Mignon, Lord God, the procedure she's believing for Friday to dissolve blockage, Father, we just speak to that blockage. Father, we believe that the prayer that was offered in faith, that was prayed over her, has worked, that she is aligned with your healing, and we speak that. We command by the authority of Jesus all blockages to begin to dissolve and be passed out of her body in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for Melinda, Lord, who came down. Traveling mercies, we pray for peace, we pray for grace, we pray that her dad's surgery, Lord God, and the full and complete recovery would go as you planned. And Father, we pray for Lori Cannon, major surgery today, Lord God. We ask that you direct the doctor's hands and restore health and life to Lori. Protect and watch over everyone, Lord God, especially those who have to go to hospitals and doctors today. They need that special touch. We bind every virus and every sickness in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. The Refuge Church at New Liberty is located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church. Gateway Church is located at 4772 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Chastity and Brooklyn Music are the pastors and would love for anyone to come and join them just as you are. Their service times are Sunday morning worship is at 10:30, Spanish service at 2, evening service is at 6. Bible engagement has been changed to Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. and Bible study follows. If you have any questions, you can contact them at 580-225-4646. We are stronger together. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Barbadice and Ford of Elk City is Western Oklahoma's auto service headquarters. With the largest team of certified technicians anywhere around, we're here to help you keep your vehicle running its best, Ford or not. No matter your make or model, you can count on us, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. And while you're here, shop our entire inventory with financing as low as 0.9%. Only at barbadiceandford.net.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest is Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd, and his title for today is Steering Where You Want to Go.
Steer where you want to go. Yeah. And you steer your life according to the book of James, the Bible, the owner's manual. You steer your life with the way you use your words. There's no way around it. You can't say, well, I'm just saying. It doesn't work like that in the realm of the spirit. You can't say, I'm just saying, as if that makes everything, you know, a moot point, null and void. You know, you can say anything you want, but it won't hurt you or anyone else for that matter. We've seen in the book of James clearly that you steer your life by your words, like a horse with a bit and a ship with a rudder. Then we went to Proverbs chapter 12. We're still there. We didn't get done. An evil man is trapped by sinful talk. A righteous man escapes trouble by, I assume, righteous talk. From the fruit of your lips, a man is satisfied with good things as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. So, in essence, what I do, what I say, is just as important as what I do. It's not just doing and it's not just saying. It is both together. James, interestingly enough, said, faith without works is dead. Well, the number one works of faith is 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, I have believed, and therefore I have spoken. And with that same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. So to operate in faith is to speak. People say, well, I'm believing. Are you? And here's another thing. You're believing based on what? If your belief is not based on the truth from the Word of God, then you might be believing something that's not going to come to pass no matter how many times you say it. Because it's not just what you say. It is belief. Now, in Proverbs verse 18 there, the 12th chapter, verse 18, listen to this. It says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. In our church, I have this great big old sword that I came across a few years ago. That thing's about probably 4 foot long, and it's an actual sword. And I'll be teaching especially young people about this, and I'll pull that sword out of that scabbard, you know, and it's real, and it's got sharp edges on it. Yeah. And I said, how would it bother y'all if I just start swinging this every which way and come walk out there among you? And they're like, don't do that. And I'm like, you know, one time I got it, and I had a watermelon. When I hit the watermelon, it's like, now, reckless words pierce like a sword. You may have cut somebody's head off today and didn't even know it. You may have stabbed them, injured them, wounded them in a way that you can't see it. But reckless words. What's reckless? It's doing things without thinking about consequences. That's what reckless is. Like driving your car as fast as it'll go. You're going to kill yourself or other people. Well, words can hurt people in ways that a car never could or a bullet never could. What if I get a gun and I load it up and I'm just like, I'm going to take some target practice in my backyard. My neighbor lives right over there. The kids are playing in his backyard. I said, well, I'll set up a paper target on my wooden fence and shoot it with my rifle. You know, how many think that'd be pretty reckless, right? I'm liable to kill or injure one of those kids over there with a stray bullet. What about a stray word? What about a word that wasn't intended to cause harm? I didn't mean it to cause evil. That's recklessness. We need to be careful with our words. We're careful with our words. So is this the truth, this Bible? Is it true? Mm-hmm. Yes, it's true. I don't matter whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it. It's still true. And it does matter if you agree or don't agree, because that's going to affect your life. But in Proverbs, the 13th chapter, very next chapter, look at the second and third verse. He who guards his lips, which is your words, not really your lips, he who guards his words guards his life. He who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Do you believe the Bible? I don't know any Christians who don't believe the Bible. Every Christian I know of says they believe the Bible. But if we walk around saying reckless things without thinking about the consequences of it, we're not acting like we believe the Bible. So I came to remind you and me both. Remember, I'm the teacher, so I get the more strict judgment. I came to remind me and you both today that we need to watch our words very carefully. Even in our nation, we need to be careful about what we say. He who guards his lips guards his life. He who speaks rashly will come to ruin. The second verse up there says this, from the fruit of his lips. I read the third verse first. The second verse says, from the fruit of his lips, a man enjoys good things. You look around your life today. Do you have a lot of good things to enjoy? You say, no, my life stinks. My life is horrible. I'm always a victim. Exactly. You talk like that, and that's why your life looks like that. Because your life will be filled with good things when your mouth is filled with good things. Well, the unfaithful have a craving for violence. Well, look at, let me give you this one in the Passion. Proverbs 15. It's verse 4. In the Passion, it says it this way. When you speak healing words, you offer others fruit from the tree of life. But unhealthy, negative words do nothing but crush their hopes. I don't think I even have to clarify. Unhealthy, negative words versus the opposite of that, healing words. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. If you're sick and you feel sick and you got a diagnosis, don't go around telling everybody about my whatever. I can't tell you how many times I've corrected people about calling disease my. You know, my arthritis is flaring up today. Well, no wonder it's flaring up. It belongs to you. You say, well, I mean, it's the truth. It may be a fact, but it's not the truth. The truth is, by his stripes, you were healed. The truth is that your joints are being affected by too many white blood cells coming in there and literally attacking your own body because your body's out of whack. That's the truth. That is a fact. Your white blood cells are out of whack, and there's inflammation in your joints, and that's what's causing it. Study up on it, but here's the deal. Don't call yourself arthritic. Don't claim that, arthritis owns you. Claim that arthritis is attacking you, but your body belongs to Jesus. And by his stripes, you are healed. And arthritis has no right to be affecting my joints today, and I rebuke this pain. You say, well, that's just mind over matter. No, it's not. It is called faith. And anything less than speaking what God speaks about you is not faith. You can't say, I'm trusting God for my healing. A lot of people don't even say they trust God for their healing. They'll say, well, the Lord knows what I'm going through. It's like, yeah, and he gave you the ability to come out of it. He wants you to come out of it. But you're the one calling the shots. Well, if God wants me healed, he'll heal me. He's already done his complete and total part. Jesus is not coming back to the whipping post to bear stripes on his back if you or I need healing this week. He's already done it. It's already bought. It's already paid for. It's already appropriated. It has your name on it. All the healing you're ever going to need has already been paid for. See, well, I don't know if I believe that. That's why you don't receive it. Because you don't believe it, you don't say it. And some people do believe it, but they don't say it. That's like having electricity turned on and no lights on in your house. And sitting around going, boy, I wish it was light in here. It's like, well, turn the switch on. The power's already there. You don't have to generate electricity. You just need to flip the switch. Your mouth is the faith switch of your life. It's the rudder of your ship. It's the bit in your horsey mouth to guide you where you want to go. But we've got to speak faith words. We've got to speak faith words. And, I got a whole lot more of this. I ain't even barely scratched the surface. We're going to have to come back in 2 weeks and continue this. But, or sooner, if someone, needs a break or something. But I want to just make sure we get this. This is not just me ranting on this. Because remember, I'm going to be held more accountable for living this than you are because I'm the one teaching it. So don't think I'm picking on you. I'm picking on us, but I'm not picking on us. I'm picking us up. I'm trying to help each one of us, me included, live the better God kind of life that he created us to be. If my life is not all that God wants it to be, it's not because he's withholding it. He is not withholding any good thing from them that walk uprightly. The word declares it. You need to go around saying that. My God don't withhold nothing from me because I walk right with him. You say, well, what difference does it make if I say it? Every difference in the world, that's what. Did you get saved? If you are saved, if you're born again, I guarantee you this, you didn't get born again without speaking. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:9, you got to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and what? Confess him with your mouth as Lord. So there are a lot of people that think what I'm teaching is almost heresy because they say, I don't believe in that name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it nonsense. It's like, well, I don't believe in name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, but I believe that faith works by speaking faith-filled words. And if you don't believe that, then obviously you don't believe the Bible. You can't even be saved. You cannot. It's impossible to be saved without believing and speaking. Every Christian, regardless of denomination, we all come to Jesus to be born again the same way. We acknowledge, we believe in our hearts that Jesus was raised from the dead. We invite him to be Lord and Savior. We confess him with our mouth. Romans is clear. It says, for with the mouth, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So you can't say, well, I don't believe in saying it and having it. That's not true. You do believe that. If you're a Christian, you believe that. And if you don't believe that, you think you don't believe that, you need to go back and check, because I'm pretty sure you do. Go read Romans 10:9-10 and see if you believe in speaking and saying and having, because I certainly do, because I know that's how I got born again. I know it's how anybody gets born again. Now, are there extremes? Does that mean everything you just say happens? No. Come on. Use your brain. God gave it to you on purpose. If everything we said came to pass, how many of you ever said, my back is killing me? You'd have dropped dead right there. You see, I got a headache. Feel like my head is about to explode. I don't want to be there. I ain't cleaning that up. Obviously, God doesn't bring to pass instantly everything we say. But the fact remains that the Bible teaches us from Genesis all the way through Revelation that our words matter. In Matthew's gospel in the 12th chapter, I believe, Jesus himself said, you know a tree by how the fruit. And he goes, make the tree good and it'll all be good because out of the abundance of your heart you bring forth what's stored up. And then he ended that by telling the Pharisees and the crowd, he said, for by your words you'll be justified, verse 37, Matthew 12:37. And then he turned to the Pharisees and said, and by your words you'll be condemned. You know what the words the Pharisees had been saying? I don't have time today to read the whole thing, so I'm just summarizing it. They said, this man casts out demons by the power of Beelzebub. That was words that they said about Jesus. And then he went on and started teaching about you can know people by the fruit. What fruit? The words. And actions, yes, but words too. Words. And then Jesus went on and said the reason why they can't say anything good is because there's no good stored up in them. But a good man brings forth good out of good stored up in him. So you say, well, Pastor, I'm having trouble with my mouth. Well, then watch your hard drive. Put this word in. Go get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God renew you. Get it in your heart. Get it in your mind. Put it in your mouth. Learn how to quote God's Word. Start off easy. Just start off with a few. And then learn how to speak as God would have you to speak. When someone says how you're doing, don't give them a medical report. Give them a praise report. Say, I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. You know, you might say it with a hoarse, raspy voice, and your nose is all stuffy, and they go, sound to me like you're sick. And then you can, I don't believe we have to deny and act like nothing ever happens. I said, well, stuff's trying to attack me today, but I know greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and by his stripes I am healed. And they'll probably, you say, well, if I said that to people, they'd look at me like I was nuts. Who cares? They probably already think you're nuts. It doesn't matter. And really, who cares what they think? Maybe, just maybe, instead of them thinking you're nuts, they'll be inspired. And they'll go, golly, that's such a good answer. I wish I'd thought of that. And you'll inspire them to start speaking differently. Because a lot of times we talk like people that we're around. How many of you ever read in the Bible? It says, do not be misled. Do you know what it says after that? Bad company does what?
Corrupts
good character. I remember one time I went to church camp in Louisiana, y'all. And they say, hey, ma, come see. I heard the word come see 100 times a day. Come see. I'd never been around Cajun people. I took Oklahoma youth kids. We went to a camp in Bastrop, Louisiana, stayed in a state park by a paper mill. With red bugs, which is chiggers to us. I learned a lot of things on that trip. But one thing I found myself doing, I started picking up some of those Cajun phrases. Instead of saying, hey, come here and look at this. See, that's what come see means. Hey, come here and look at this. They go, come see. Hey, man, come see. Look at that. Look at that, that crawdads. Oh, he looks some fine eating right there. I'm like, yeah, they were real Cajuns. I mean, these people were Cajuns. A lot of them were. Some of these kids were. They got in trouble for sneaking off from chapel and swimming in the bayou. I'm like, I wouldn't swim in there for $1 million. Look at all them snakes and this and that and whatever. It's like, I ain't getting in there, and them kids are just swimming. They're a little different, you know. But who we start hanging out with, who we hang out with will affect how we are. So if you hang out with people that take God's name in vain all the time, you say, well, I can't stop them from cussing. That's my boss. I can't stop my boss from cussing. But I'll tell you what you can do. I'm going to give you some practical, good advice. Every time you hear somebody cuss, you turn away and go praise. And even before you turn away, in your mind, where they can't hear it, because don't cast your pearls before swine. They'll trample your pearls and then turn on you. So don't try to correct people unless the Holy Spirit is inspiring you to. Be careful about that, because you'll only create enemies. But when they cuss, you bless. When they take God's name in vain, you stop and say, Lord, I thank you. You are not a condemner. You are so good, Lord God. You're the Savior, Jesus, in your mind. Or you can say it out loud. Just don't say it right in their face. We're not called to be offensive. Now, I got to where, when I was working at the crude oil refinery and the Lord saved my life, I would start correcting some of them people but I had authority over them too, so. But they would start talking all nasty, and I'd literally say this, listen, if you want to talk like that, that's your business. Remember, everybody has free will, so don't try to violate their free will. But if you're going to talk around me, don't talk like that. I don't appreciate it. And here a little bit, and then they'd look at my helmet, and I had a cross on my helmet, and I got angels watching over on the side, whatever. Had a dangerous job. I need all the protection I can get. And I don't want people blaspheming the name of the Lord and talking ugly around me, because for one thing, that's exactly how I talked before I got saved. And I don't want to talk that way anymore. So I'm trying to develop new habits at that time in my life, especially. So I would literally disagree. I can disagree in my mind with anybody about anything. If they want to curse God, I can bless God. And when I worked in the car dealership and there were some people around me that not nice with their words, not just cuss words, but just being ugly. I mean, just condemning and ugly. I would just go to the bathroom a lot. They said, man, that kid must have bladder issues. Because I was young. I was in my early 20s. It must have bladder issues. No, he need to go in the bathroom and get a break from some of these words he's hearing and go have a talk with Jesus. Because I had come to the Lord at that time. And it's like, that's what we do. So know this. You can never control someone else's words. But you actually can control yours. And they don't get to steer your ship. They can call you a loser all day long, but you don't have to choose to be a loser. But I'll tell you what the danger is. Don't ever call someone else a loser because they might believe it. And if they believe it and start saying it, that it'll manifest in their life and you'll have a part to play in it. Don't do that. Bless people with your mouth. Don't curse them. Amen?
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Prayer this morning, y'all, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from Pastor Delight, the White Shepherd. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.